In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. A very happy feast day to each and every one of you. What begins today begins the celebration of 8 days. 8 days to honor this most important event in salvation history. And interesting to note, maybe you're not aware, it's the last great feast of our liturgical year. So for Byzantines, our new liturgical year begins on September 1st. And so our liturgical year ends with the Theotokos, and the first great feast of the new liturgical year will be the Theotokos and her birth, September 8th. So we end the beginning, which tells us something, because she is the perfect model of Christian discipleship. And that's about today's gospel, obedience. And we could reflect on that, but I'm going to step it back from there and really just reflect on the general theme of what we call the dormition, or the falling asleep of the most holy Theotokos. No offense to Pierre, but I moved the ambo back because I don't want to stand in front of our icon for the feast, the Dormition. And when the church honors the Dormition or the falling asleep of Our Lady, or the West calls it the Assumption, what theology is being protected, or what is being emphasized, or what this means is that no death and no serious illness touched and ever touched the very body of Our Lady. When she fell asleep, sometime between the day she fell asleep and the third day, her body had passed into eternal life. So we don't really say Our Lady died. It has connotations. But yes, she fell asleep. And the Theotokos is the first human, so she's the first of our race, to actually experience in her body and her soul the very glory of God, the full divinization. Everyone else who has fallen asleep, and that's what we say in Christianity, people fall asleep when you're baptized into Christ, who rose from the dead, we don't actually die, we simply fall asleep, which means our body goes into the grave, but our soul is still alive in God. Everyone else awaits this glorification of his or her body. Today's feast, then, has two-part reflection, or two-part meaning. First, it is honoring, it is celebrating the Theotokos, who was the most perfect and is experiencing now what awaits every single one of us who are faithful to our baptismal promises. So that's the second part of it. It's a foretaste. She's showing us she's already enjoying what we all are moving toward. So today's liturgy, in a way, is giving us a foretaste of what awaits all of us who are faithful to Christ, who are obedient to Christ and his word. So as I mentioned, properly speaking, in the Christian tradition, we don't really say people die or they're deceased, because they don't stop existing. Death and ceasing to exist seems to indicate that the person no longer exists. No, actually in the Christian tradition we say people have fallen asleep. Death was conquered by Jesus the Christ. And when he died on the cross and rose from the dead, death no longer touched him. It couldn't touch him. Corruption could not touch him. And so all of us who have been baptized, as we know St. Paul teaches us this, everyone who's baptized is baptized into Christ. So if you're baptized into Christ who is living, then death will not touch you. Corruption will not touch you in the end. So those who have fallen asleep now are awaiting their glorified body. And that's what we recite. That's what the church has given to us in the creed. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. The resurrection of the dead, meaning the body coming back and being joined to the soul, right? But because the soul continues to exist and exists in Christ, we in reality do not go into death itself. We don't stop existing. And that's why we say we fall asleep in the Lord. The Theotokos, however, is unique. Within 3 days of her burial, she experienced immediately the glorification of her body. That's been the constant teaching of the church since the time of the apostles, and we know liturgically this has been celebrated in the East since the 400s, and of course it just didn't pop out of nowhere, so there was already a history of this celebration even before the 400s. And the saints, some of our theologians, the saints, the holy men and women, when they reflect on this very feast and the event of what happened today, they ask this question. Could it be any other way than Our Lady falling asleep and passing body and soul into life eternal? Could it be any other way? And they ask these questions. How could the one who conceived, who bore, who nursed, and who nurtured life himself experience corruption and death? And to our holy fathers and mothers, they say, that's inconceivable. Since she was 3 years of age, the Theotokos was dedicated to God, the God of the living. And she dwelt in the holy temple of the God living. On that day, she began a very unique, distinct communion with God. Then at the incarnation, God dwelt in her. God touched her very flesh. His flesh was her flesh. And then while Moses experienced God in the burning bush, and Elijah experienced God in the midst of that wind and that storm, the Theotokos is unique. She experienced God directly in her womb. And so our holy fathers and the holy mothers say, can death then touch this one? It's inconceivable. While Moses placed in the ark the commandments of God, and he placed this ark with the commandments of God in the tabernacle of the living God, the Theotokos became literally the ark of the covenant. And she was literally the tabernacle of God, the God of the living. Life himself dwelt in her. How could death touch her? It's inconceivable. Instead of the earth taking the body of the Theotokos, God took the body to himself. And now she stands at the right hand of her son, standing between God and the human race. By her obedience, as we heard in the gospel today, praised for her obedience, the Theotokos made God a son of man. She made God a son of man, that man might become children of God. Rightly then, she is called the mother of the living. Our holy fathers and mothers then ask, how can death touch her? Inconceivable. In heaven, the Theotokos stands closer to God than anyone else. Yes, anyone else, including the angels themselves. For that reason, the Theotokos' intercession is more powerful than any other of God's creation. Isaiah writes, and I quote him, "And the seraphim stood around God," end of quote. And in that quote, the church has always understood that the seraphim are the creatures that stand closest to God. And yet, And yet we hear the prophet and King David write these words. Psalm 45, verse 9. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen. And the church has understood that to mean our Theotokos. This Theotokos, therefore, stands closer to God than even the seraphim. So to the Theotokos, the church sings in her liturgy, and I quote, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise you forever unto ages of ages. Amen. End of quote. And that's what we do tonight. And that's what the church does constantly, as she constantly calls upon the name of the Theotokos. We celebrate you today, our mother. We honor you today, our mother. We venerate you today, our mother. We are your inheritance, O Theotokos. Increase our hearts, increase in our hearts the capacity to become what you now possess. May we become participants in the very glory of God. Christ is among us.